Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, friends. Good day to you. Today is December 5th, 2018. This is Molly McCord, and thank you for joining me for our weekly podcast all about the astrology and energies of right now. We talk about what is happening out there in the cosmos and how we are feeling those energies here on our blue and green marble of a planet. I appreciate your presence and your energy. It has been wonderful to connect with so many of you this year and in previous years. This podcast is approaching episode 400. So 400 of these podcast episodes have been put out there in the world over the past 6.5 years, and I am grateful that there's so many amazing people like you in the world. Please know that no matter what you see around you, no matter what is happening in the media or in politics or in any of those other places, understand that there's millions of people who are awake, who are tuned in, who are doing their work, who are doing their part to be strong in their light. And it's amazing. I mean, I just see so many amazing people stepping into their purpose and living their truth that it's fantastic. So know that this energy is happening in a really strong way on the planet, and we're each a part of it. And it's a really exciting time to be here. You may have noticed that over the past 2 days, I have released 2 new podcasts for you talking about the 2020 astrology energies. That's because the energy that begins in 2020 is some of the biggest astrology of 500 years. And that has to do with the cycles that are coming together, how all of these planets, including the South Node, are meeting up in Capricorn, and how there are these ongoing transits and aspects that are very rare and very much about permanent change. And I want to provide you with empowering insights to think about this in your own life, to be aware of these energies, to be aware of the patterns and the cycles that we've been through in the past century. So there's tools that we have here, and I want to give you some of those tools to work with and to be with in your own life, because that will help you understand perhaps what's coming ahead. Of course, none of us really know exactly what's coming ahead, but with astrology, we can see the patterns and the cycles, the themes, and where the energies are going to be the strongest. So this is a big discussion in the world of astrology. If you get the magazine, The Mountain Astrologer, or if you are interested, the December-January issue of The Mountain Astrologer is all about the 2020 energies, 2020 forecasts, and the upcoming conjunctions. So please pick it up. It's a wonderful publication. It's a physical magazine. It's also digital. You can get it online. That's The Mountain Astrologer. So today's show, we're going to talk about what's happening in the heavens right now, in the sky, and I'm going to share with you another story time. This story time is going to be about Mars and the Mars journey through Pisces, which is a completion journey. So I'm going to share with you a bit about those energies and what's happening now, so that you can be aware of the significance of Mars in Pisces and perhaps understand also what you are surrendering, what you are releasing, what you are allowing to dissolve from your own Mars energy. Mars is our masculine. It is our desire and our sense of action. It's where we assert ourselves. And it's associated with the ego and the ego mind, and that can be a healthy part of us, and it can be unhealthy. So with the Mars in Pisces, we're going to do a story about what this journey is for Mars as he completes a full 2-year cycle and really moves through some powerful energies here as he voyages through Pisces. Before I dive into that, though, let's just get a quick take on what's happening in general, or in specifically right now. The sun is at 13 degrees of Sagittarius, and that means the sun at 13 degrees of Sag is actually squaring Neptune at 13 degrees of Pisces, and Mars is at 12 degrees of Pisces. So anytime we have the sun being receiving a square from an outer planet as well as a personal planet, well, it affects our own clarity, it affects our own sense of self and how we are moving through life and how we're moving through our world right now. We also are finishing up a Mercury retrograde. This will end on December 6th as Mercury stations direct at 27 degrees of Scorpio. And then we're also having a new moon, December 6th or 7th, depending on where you are in the world. This new moon is happening at 15 degrees of Sagittarius. And then we also have Chiron stationing direct at 27 degrees of Pisces. So right now, over the course of, say, 4 or 5 days, we have this slowing down of energies. We have a sense of things like shifting and working themselves out. We have planets changing direction to go direct so that the energy now goes forward after being in contemplation and review. We also have a sense of maybe frustration because, again, the planets that square the sun, it affects what you want to do. Because the sun is the biggest light, the biggest energy, and it's how we say, well, I'm going to do this, I'm ready to go for that. And receiving the square from Mars at 13 degrees of Pisces is going to bring up a delay or a frustration. You really want something, but you feel you can't get it. It's just out of reach. It's just out of grasp. And then the sun being in Sagittarius, which is a fire sign, and it's very strong in what it wants and being able to go for what it wants without boundaries, without limitations. It can get angry. It can get fired up and have a big response. That's what fire signs do. And so just to be aware of your own frustrations right now and to not overreact or go into anything that puts you into excessive energies, because this is a time of not overly identifying with all the changes that are happening. And these changes are happening on a few different levels of our being. It's happening in not only the mutable signs, which are the signs in Sagittarius and the signs in Pisces, but there's a lot of water in the sky right now. We have Mercury in Scorpio, Venus in Scorpio, Mars in Pisces. So those three personal planets are all in water signs. We also have Neptune in Pisces, Chiron in Pisces, and the North Node in Cancer. So the water energy is really strong right now, and we could be feeling it. We could be feeling a bigger energy either within us or in our inner world. We could just be feeling a lot. This is great for the emotional growth that we're moving through and deeper wisdom about what you've been perhaps sitting in or that part of your world that hasn't felt like it's changed, but there's been deeper healing below the surface. That's a big part of all this water energy, and there is a grand trine in water signs with the North Node in Cancer, Chiron in Pisces, and Mercury in Scorpio. So these are the three water signs meeting up at that 27-degree point. If you listen to this show, you know that I spoke about this in the November 21st podcast where we talked about the Mercury story time and Mercury's going back into the cave, right? So this is the time when Mercury went back into the cave to get more of the story that he didn't realize was happening, that he forgot, that he was moving too fast. So Mercury in Scorpio is getting more details, more information, and it's something deeper, and it's connected with truth. It's connected with a purity, a pure truth, and it's meant to help you grow emotionally, okay? It's meant to help heal you at a deeper level, and that's part of this grand trine with the North Node in Cancer showing us how to grow through our feelings and what is really true for you and what's the wisdom of what you feel and what is it showing you? What are you learning through your emotional world? And Cancer can be unconscious emotions, the things that you just learned, you've always felt, you've always reacted in a certain way. And now with the North Node in Cancer, we're saying, well, wait, do I want to react that way? Is that how I want to continue to feel about this situation, this experience, this story, this relationship? So Mercury going back into Scorpio and igniting this grand trine in water is asking you to gain clarity on a story you've told yourself and the emotions you've attached to it. And is that really how you want to feel? And so there's a real private energy right now too. Like there's a privacy about this where it's just something maybe you know that you're not talking about or you're not sharing, but you feel it and you understand it. So that's really big right now. And all the water energies can make us more aware of stimuli, aware of senses. It can be a sensory overload, really, because the water signs are very tuned in to what's not being said but what they feel. And that can mean that you just need to retreat more and that you want more private time. And this could be something that's confusing because of the strong energies in Sagittarius with the Sun in Sag and Jupiter in Sag. Jupiter is now at 6 degrees of Sagittarius. And it's that sense of, oh, but I want to go out. I want to do something fun. I want to go to the party. The things that you want to do and you get excited about. And you might realize, well, I could go for 2 hours, but I can't stay for 6 hours. Or I'm excited to go try this, but I don't know if I want to commit for too long. These energies are all about being aware of where you're placing your energy and that it's okay to be sampling right now. It's okay if you're like, I'm just going to take some of this and some of that and call it good. Because otherwise you might feel like you've overextended, you've overcommitted, or it's just too much. A lot of this water energy requires us to honor our private selves, our inner worlds, and to retreat and to just have time alone. So it's one of the contradictions right now, but when we're conscious of it and aware of it, then it makes sense. And it's why you maybe don't want to do a lot or fill up your calendar. Venus is now at 1 degree of Scorpio, and last week, the November 28th podcast was the story time around Venus's journey through Scorpio, and so she's just come back into this part of your chart, and she's stronger now. Remember, if you need to go back and listen to that episode, it might help with the full energy journey of Venus, but she's stronger now because she's gained some clarity around where she didn't feel powerful or she wasn't aware of some of the people in her life, some of the stuff that she took on. And now she's like, no, I'm going to do this on my terms and with a new sense of what I'm worth. I'm worth this. I am worthy of my power. I am worthy of abundance. I am worthy of feeling strong in myself based on my own definition of that, and to then assert that energy back out into the world. Now, we say that Venus is in her detriment in Scorpio, and she's known for being in her detriment in Scorpio and in Aries because these are the signs that are energetically furthest from her home signs of Taurus and Libra. And this is true for every planet. Every planet has their astrology signs where they're in a detriment. Mars is in his detriment. He's not very strong in Pisces. He doesn't have what he's used to having, and he kind of withers. He just is a little bit weaker in Pisces until he learns how to assert himself and how to charge ahead. Now, Venus is strong in Pisces, normally, and Mars is actually strong in Scorpio. So right now, there's this interesting dialogue happening between Venus and Mars, where Venus and Mars are not in their strong energies, but because they are the lovers of the zodiac, they are the couple, they're supporting each other energetically. So it's like Venus and Scorpio can support Mars and Pisces. It's called mutual reception when the planets are in each other's energies. Mutual reception. So there's a sense of, I'm going to support you, and you can support me, and together we're going to get through this. And that helps. So they're both in these water signs. They're both in a sense of love and compassion and being asked to understand that within themselves. So that means for each of us, our feminine, Venus, and our masculine, Mars, are also in these softening energies of be kind to yourself right now. Don't beat yourself up. Don't be your own worst enemy. Understand what you were meant to learn and go through. Be forgiving. Be understanding. Find the deeper truth of it all and just allow yourself to continue to move through the emotions that come up and the feelings that come up. All the water energy is about flowing, right? And water is meant to flow. And when it gets dammed up, well, we feel that too. And it's not good for us in any sense. It's not good for us physically or energetically, intuitively, spiritually. So the strong water right now is saying to flow and flow and flow. And, you know, all that water can put out the fire of Sagittarius. And there's also fire in the sky with Uranus and Aries. So there's parts of us that are keeping the energy going with the three planets in fire signs. But you might feel kind of a back and forth where the water sign extinguishes the fire and then the fire comes back up and warms you up after maybe feeling cold or damp from the water, right? So just some things to look at in your own world, because the energies right now are interesting. They're very interesting as we complete a very big year. I also feel that these water signs are flushing us clean, are moving it through, are allowing you to release and cleanse and purify. And what do you need to put in the river? What do you need to put into the water, right, to have it flow away and be complete for you? Because one of the gifts of water is that it does change. It doesn't stay with you. If something gets dammed up, well, that's the problem, right? And you know, okay, I've got to release this energy. I've got to release this dam so that I'm not holding more emotion than I need or more than I need to carry. So there's a lot right now of just transmuting and flushing out the energies of 2018. And thankfully, we have Pluto and Saturn in Capricorn still keeping us strong and focusing on the bare bones of what's needed, reminding you to only commit or say yes where you can follow through, where you have the time, where you really want the result or outcome. And that this is also what's keeping us I feel it energetically strong. You know, there's the energy of a pole, and you could see it being in the middle of the flowing river, and it stands strong, and it understands that it can contain itself and be feeling grounded and clear even when so much else is rushing by and rushing past. So there's a part of us And now I'm seeing it as a golden rod, as a golden energy coming up that is meant to be strengthening through the spine and meant to be, it's like I see it go, okay, so I'm seeing it at the core of the earth, going up through the feet and the spine, and then goes right up to the sun, is what I'm seeing. It goes right to the sun, and that's why it's golden. So there's something about a lightning rod, a lightning pole that's strengthening right now and keeping you clear in parts of your purpose, in parts of your mastery, in parts of what truly matters for the long term. So I'll just offer that and leave that there. It's some kind of strengthening rod of energy that's coming up to be both grounding and lightning, a reminder of your connection to source, to lightning, it's like light. I don't know how else to say it, so I'm just going to repeat the word. So that's pretty powerful too, and I feel that it's part of this clearing. It's almost like anything that is of the light will wash away. Anything that isn't of your purest essence will wash away. And I'm seeing now how, oh, okay, so this lightning rod, it's like one of those lava lamps. I'm seeing it as like this lava lamp of bubbles and effervescence, and it's just the sparkle of different versions of your soul's energies. And it's a bit like, here's a part of it is unconditional love, and here's the compassion, and here's the forgiveness, and here's the understanding, and here's this higher perspective. So, okay, it's a lava lamp of energy that is meant to just be in movement and bubble and have its own purity to it, and it has a life to it as well. And that, okay, so that would make sense too, like the lava lamp when you think about the fire in the sky as well. So that represents the fire of right now. So perhaps a fun image to play with or to visualize as part of everything that's changing right now, because everything is really in motion and there's a lot that's shifting and it needs to shift. I remember last week, the last day of November, one of my guides was like, I think something big is happening, and I could just feel it. And I don't always know how to put it into words. It's just a feeling of something's changing, something's shifting. Like, it feels pretty big. And then there was the announcement of the person who died, and I was like, oh, thank God. You know, the person, one of the people of the 3D who hold all this density and horrible things to humanity and, like, has hurt millions of people. And all the corruption, all the things that stem from that legacy and that time, it's like, and then the death is announced. And I felt like this cornerstone of density was removed. And I saw it as a crater. And, you know, you look at the earth, and it's like, oh, it's beautifully manicured. There's a nice lawn. Oh, there's the appearance of something, right? And then this crater came out of the earth, and it was filled with all this vile, evil, dark, horrible stuff, and it was cleared from the planet, and I just kept visualizing light, 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 like, please, you know, just to fill in that energy that's now gone with light and with healing and with a newer vibration that represents what humanity needs. And so I feel like things have shifted in a big way, and that I, you know, even the dark reveals the light, and even people who play a certain role support us in our choices, in what we want to choose for humanity and what we want to choose for this world. And so these people who have had very dark energies and very dense energies, when they leave, then we get to make new choices about what comes in. And I hope that there's even I kind of see a domino effect of like more people of that vibration leaving and dying because their energy doesn't fit for all the light that's on the planet. And so the more you can just keep visualizing the light coming into this planet, and it can be from the sun, it can be from the soul or the oversoul, your higher self, whatever that is for you that works, it supports what the earth is moving through. Of evil that's been done on the planet, like goodbye, good riddance, and thank you for showing us our own power and our power to make the earth a better place. Like, we don't need those energies ever again. So that's part of what I was feeling, and now I feel like so much of this change that we're moving through is showing us that humanity has, it's like this higher elevation platform is here. And there's more people on that energy plane than ever before. And that's what's creating this ongoing shift that's like squeezing out these denser energies and allowing more to come through. So that's part of the end of this year, and that's also very intentional for next year, is to keep bringing in the right energies and to really understand that we have that power. That power and that knowingness has been shut down to humanity. There's been many people who've known about the power of energy, who've known about the powers of our souls, and they've distracted us. You know, there's so many distractions with the media and all these other things that when you're awake, you get what's going on. You get the game, and so you don't play into the game, and you understand that your energy and how you direct it is your power source, and the more of us who know that and who understand that, we work with it consciously, and nothing else can take us away from that. So there's this truth now. There's like something more coming through that's going to push, I feel like this pushing in of more layers of energies that support what is needed, what is needed. And that's part of this Pisces energy. So let's get into the story time of Mars, because Mars is in a really interesting place right now. Mars takes 2 years to move through the full 12 astrology signs, the full cycle. And every time he's in an astrology sign, he changes armor. He changes what he does to assert himself. And I think of how Mars in Aries is a gladiator, and then he changes his outfit as he goes, and sometimes he's a medieval knight, or sometimes he's in something a little softer when he's in Cancer, and he goes into the medieval energy, and then I'm seeing like the Shining Knight, and then the Commander. So he changes outfits to be strong, into how he can feel strong. And when he gets to Pisces, well, he's been on a lot of different, he's been wearing a lot of different armor, a lot of different outfits, and now he takes it all off. And he just goes into his yoga pants and his white T-shirt, white V-neck T-shirt, and he is not allowed to have any armor. And he's not allowed to be in a place that is his normal self-assertion. Because Mars is strongest when he's physical, when he's doing, when he's in action, when he can take action, when he can go for what he wants, when he's strong in his sense of self, when he's strong in his ability to trust his energy and to say, this is what I want, I'm going to go for it. And so by the time he gets to Pisces, he has to abandon all that, and he has to just leave all that by the wayside. So when Mars gets to Pisces, he entered Pisces November 16th. He basically wears this yoga pants, T-shirt, and then he has to get into a boat with no oars and no paddles. And he gets in this boat, and he pushes off from shore, and now he's in the energy of Pisces, which is actually you don't have any control. You don't have that command. You can't assert yourself the way that you want to. So for each of us, there is this ego surrender going on. And in Pisces, Pisces is a duality planet, just like Gemini. Now in Gemini, we do something twice, once with our left hand, once with our right hand. We think it through twice. We learn it and then we talk about it. We understand something and maybe we go through it too fast, and then the second time we do it better. Well, in Pisces, a sign of duality, you also go through it twice, but the energy is first, it's that human impulse, that human ego, that human sense of, I want to do this, I have to do this. And that usually proves futile because Mars in Pisces has to surrender the humanness, has to surrender the ego, has to surrender the human desires. And so the first time Mars tries something in Pisces, it can fail. And that can feel discouraging, defeating. You can be like, I'm just going to give up. Nothing's ever going to work. The Pisces energy can feel separate from everything. It can feel alone, abandoned. It can go into self-pity or blame. Like, this didn't work. Who's to blame? And let me start pointing my fingers at everybody else. And so those are the lower expressions of Mars in Pisces when Mars attempts something the first time. And because it's a sign of duality, it actually has to do something a second time, but do it a different way. Pisces is the energy of doing something now with a greater intention, a greater spiritual understanding, of understanding that maybe I don't have to do it all alone because I'm supported by Source, because I don't know the details, I don't know the outcome, and that is where I'm powerful. I'm not powerful in my ego, I'm not powerful in my mind, I'm not powerful in my body. And Mars is like, oh my goodness, then I have no power, right? Because Mars is our human self. And so he feels powerless when he has to give up the ego, the mind, the body. But that's when he then opens up to that greater source of energy, which is the feeling of being eternally supported, of being spiritually supported, of if I get quiet, and I just lay back here in my rowboat, and I just lay flat on my back, and I stare up at the stars, and I just allow myself to float, and I'm not trying to steer the boat or command it, and I just listen. That's when the information comes through, because then it's quiet enough to tap into the intuitive messages from Source about what to do and how to do it in a way that actually saves you from having to run it through your human functions, so to speak. So it's a listening energy. It's a receptive energy, and Mars isn't good with that. That's not how he wants to be. So this Mars is in the boat, coasting and coasting, and as he lays back and just stares at the sky, stares at the stars, watches the clouds and the birds, he starts to basically throw overboard his ego and what's been burdening him of the past 2 years. And he says, okay, this is what I learned. This is how I understood my energy. This is what I learned about my body. This is how I learned about my desires. It's a contemplative, reflective energy that is saying, what did this teach me, or what did I understand about this? And he starts to throw some experiences into the ocean, into Pisces, and he throws it overboard, and he feels himself lightening up. He feels his energy freeing up. And he comes back to many things, whether those are in his mind, regrets, areas where he was disappointed. And he starts to just keep releasing it and releasing it and releasing it. And as he's sailing, coasting, floating on the ocean, he's coming up to Neptune at 13 degrees of Pisces. And if you listen to last week's episode where I gave you the story time about Venus, then you know that in the story time, Neptune in Pisces is the mermaid. And so Mars is really feeling the first 9 to 10 degrees of Pisces. He tends to feel defeated and weaker because he doesn't know how to work with this energy. He just feels like, I can do nothing. Everything's futile. Everything is a waste. Like, he can go into that part of himself. And then he meets up at 13 degrees with Neptune in Pisces, who he hears that siren call of the mermaid, and he sits up and he looks over and he sees the mermaid tail, and she dives around and she's swimming, and she's very much about what you can't see and what you have to trust. And so Mars sees this mermaid swimming and playing and having so much fun in the water. Now, to him, the water looks overwhelming. It's too much to wrangle. He can't possibly, he doesn't want to swim, in other words. Mars does not want to swim unless he's in Scorpio, in where he's strong. But then he's in a submarine when he's in Scorpio, and he's in a submarine and he has torpedoes and he's good to go. But when he's on top of the ocean in Pisces, he is just, I don't know what's going on, and I don't know who I am. So he sees the Neptune and Pisces mermaid, and he just feels the spirit of release and play and confusion. Like, how can you enjoy this big ocean? How can you enjoy all this? And he watches her enough times that he understands that he could shift his perspective. He could see it differently. He could be open to a different way of viewing this time on the ocean. And what happens is Mars and Neptune only meet up once every 2 years, and they start a new two-year cycle, a new two-year story. And so Mars is invited to toss away his own smallness to Neptune and Pisces, to toss away where his ego has worked against him, where his ego has been too defined and too tight. And this mermaid is saying, just be free. Just be free of this self-definition. Just be free of your own constraints. Just be free. Don't hold yourself down to one thing. You can be everything, just like the ocean. You can be everything. So at first Mars is hesitant, and he thinks it's ridiculous. And, of course, he's just looking for Earth, the next shore. He's just looking for land. But he's so mesmerized by this energy that he does that, and he says, okay, I'm just going to surrender these parts of myself from the last two-year cycle and hand over who I thought I was so that I can open up to more that will support me as I go forward, but I don't know who that is right now. So Mars and Neptune make this connection, and also Neptune receives an energy from Mars. Right? It always works together. And so Mars provides this energy of, what do you want next? What's your next dream? What do you want to chase? What do you want to go for? So Mars starts shouting at that mermaid and asking her these questions and saying, you know, there's things you can create. Don't just float around in the ocean. What do you want? Go for what you want. So Mars gives his energy to Neptune and Pisces too. So then they sail on and go their different ways. Now, because it's Mercury retrograde, of course I forgot one of the parts of the story. Back before Mars left that first decan, he did see land. He saw Saturn at 8 degrees of Capricorn. And at 8 degrees of Capricorn, Mars and Saturn made a sextile, which is strengthening for both of them, which is about taking what you want and your dreams and making it real. So chances were then that at 8 degrees of Capricorn, Mars saw some kind of shore and had an idea of where he was going, of what was happening, of what he needed to keep his eye on, because that Saturn in Capricorn is the long-term game. It's what you shoot for, what you build, what you strive for. So he saw that off in the distance, the mountains of Saturn and Capricorn, and he's like, I know I'm not alone here, but that's where I have to go. I have to go to this place of steady ground. I'm not there yet, but I know that there's something that I'm going to be creating. So he saw the Saturn in Capricorn mountaintops. Then he kept floating. He met up with the Neptune in Pisces mermaid. And then he sailed on, floated with a new sense of trust, a new sense of just being in the moment, being in the present, because now that Mars is in the second decan of Pisces, he knows how to meditate. And he's like, I'm not going to let my mind overpower me, overshadow what I've done. I'm going to allow my mind to work for me. So a second decan, he's able to say, okay, I can harness this. I can be aware of where my mind goes, where my ego goes, and I can let it all go because I understand that everything is temporary. Everything changes. So Mars really steps into the higher energies as he voyages through Pisces, and he's not stuck in the smallness of his human energy, but he emerges into the fullness of his spiritual self. And as he's doing this, Mars continues on in his boat, and he is going to meet up next with Pluto. Now, Pluto will be in Capricorn at 20 degrees, and that's where they're going to meet up. And this happens on December 18th. And it's a quick passing, and it's a bit like similar to Saturn in Capricorn. He sees a bigger mountaintop. He sees a bigger source of land because Capricorn's an earth sign, but it's something that looks achievable, that he wants it. And in our story, we're going to make it something powerful like a castle, and it's the structure off in the distance that he sees it and he's ready to claim it. He's ready to claim his sense of power. And it's like this vision of a castle off in the distance. It's like on top of a mountain, and you can just see it being etched out in the sunlight, in the shadows of, like the sun is highlighting it. And it's like, that's what I'm about. I'm about what I can build, what I can contribute, what I can offer. And Mars gets a new sense of himself when he connects with Pluto. And Pluto in Capricorn is not only about what you're creating and what you want to build next, your own mastery, but it's also about recognition. And so Mars sextiling Pluto is a sense of, this is what I have done well. This is what I have accomplished, I have achieved, I've learned this, I've been through that. I really own who I am and my mastery through my real world experiences. So Mars knows that he's not just a formless blob, but he has done things that matter. He's contributed, and he sees this outline of the castle, and he understands how his achievements travel with him, and that what he has been through and what he's learned, how he's grown, how he's become better, is something that he owns, and he claims it. So this is strengthening. Mars in Pisces sextiling Pluto in Capricorn is strengthening for Ben what he's done and a reminder of what's possible next. So he's in his boat, and of course in our story the weather is great because he has all these supportive sextiles happening and conjunctions. So the weather is working with him. And that's always good news for any sailor, is that the weather is on your side here. And the ocean is on your side. Neptune is on your side. So Mars sails through into the third decan of Pisces. And now he has greater spiritual mastery. He's learned when his ego is silly. He's learned when it doesn't matter. He's learned how to incorporate more tools into himself, and that's through meditation. That's his intuition. That's his spiritual self. Those are his spiritual gifts. The parts of himself that he really wouldn't make time for, he's forced to make time for in Pisces. He's really having to let go of so much that he could find he has just time on his hands to just listen more or to nap and sleep. But the dreams become real. So in the third decan of Pisces, he gets new visions of what the bigger purpose was of the past 2 years. So Mars enters the third decan, that's 20 degrees of Pisces, after meeting or seeing that Pluto castle. And he has an understanding of that's what I was understanding, that's what I was learning, that's what I was healing. And he continues on through the third and final energy of Pisces, and he starts to own his mastery, and he starts to know how to incorporate these other energies into his physical self and his human life. And so he is working on his meditation and listening and trusting his feelings, and that's how he starts to get these visions of what's next. And what's possible, because he's cleared out the past 2 years. He's understood where he was grand and successful. And now he has some choices to make about what goes forward. So he's tossed a lot overboard. He's let go of many things. And then he comes to Chiron. Now Chiron and Mars are going to make a conjunction. And this will be at 28 degrees of Pisces on December 30th. This conjunction also happens only once every 2 years, because that's Mars' cycle. And Mars is now completing his time in Pisces, right? He's at 28 degrees. Like, he's so close to land. He's so close to jumping out of this boat and running off with his new desires, his new adventure, because he's going to enter Aries, right? He's going to enter Aries and be let's go. And that's going to happen. He'll actually enter Aries, depending on your location, January 1st, 2019. It could be December 31st, depending on your time zone. So at the end of this year, the last day of 2018 or the first day of 2019, Mars is in Aries and he's storming the land, right? Like, he's ready to go. He's got his armor back on. He's ready to hit the ground running, literally, to start his new adventure. But before he can get out of that boat, he makes a conjunction with Chiron. And Chiron in Pisces, as I've shared with you in the previous two story times, is floating and is the enlightened part of you. It is the soul energy that is compassionate and kind and loving. It's forgiving. And so Mars comes up to Chiron and he's a little bit jolted, because in this story, Chiron in Pisces is just floating over the water's edge. Because at 28 degrees, he's almost to land, but not quite. And so Chiron in Pisces is floating over the water, and Mars isn't expecting it, and Mars thinks he's ready to go, and then something gets triggered. Because Mars is a trigger energy, and there's something that comes up. And it could be unresolved grief, unresolved disappointment, unresolved regret. And before he can start his new adventure, he meets Chiron, who says, it's okay to hand it over to me, because truly you are done with this. You are complete with this. But acknowledge it for yourself, and that is your strength. You are a spiritual master. This is your spiritual strength, is to allow anything incomplete to just flow out of you and to leave it here on the ocean, to not carry it forward into the new adventure. And Mars actually triggers Chiron to do a release. And so it can be a big emotional release, a spiritual release, energetic release. Something gets moved in Chiron. So Chiron benefits and Mars benefits from this conjunction, but first they're both triggered by something that's unexpected. And, you know, Mars, again, it's the human ego, right? It's the humanness of our experience. And then Chiron is what we do our best to heal, but it feels vulnerable. It feels powerless. We don't have confidence. So Mars says, here, have some of my confidence, to Chiron. And Chiron allows Mars to let go of any of his unresolved fears. So this energy is interesting because they're very different normally, but in Pisces, it's about the completion. It's about you don't want to take this forward with you. Don't allow something over the past 2 years to remain a long-standing hurt. Don't allow it to remain this unresolved wound, because your energy is going to be needed elsewhere, right? Mars goes into Aries. He jumps out of that boat. He storms the beach to take off. He's ready to start the new adventure and the next vision. And then we're going to have Chiron go back into Aries in 2019 as well. And that will be in February. So there's part that's actually February 19th, February 20th. So that's part of this completion energy, that there's things that we're not going to carry forward. And it's being brought to your awareness so that you're like, I'm not going to hold this in me. I understand it formed part of my self-identity, but I'm not going to allow it to continue to hurt me or to continue to feel that way as I go forward. Okay, so it's a clearing, a cleansing, and this is what Mars ignites in Chiron. So it could come up as being uncomfortable at first, because it's your human ego coming up against a deeper emotional lesson or experience. But you're meant to clear it out, because both planets move into Aries, and that's where you're ready for this next spiral of your own energy. So this is what Mars is allowing us to do. We're just surrendering parts of our self-identity, our ego, even things that have served a purpose, and maybe they just aren't you anymore. They don't resonate. They don't fit. Honor that. Honor the letting go. We have Mars, Neptune, Chiron, and Pisces. The letting go is necessary right now. And if you don't fight it, and if you just float in the uncertainty, you'll gain more energy. Because again, this is part of the Pisces journey, where you surrender the human will and you allow the spiritual will stay in you and to give you even more than your human self ever could. That's one of the gifts of Mars and Pisces. It's how spirit, source, God, the universe provides more than you ever could. More than you could plan, more than you could map out, more than you could create. So even though Mars is not typically strong in Pisces, there's gifts with every astrological sign. And when Mars taps into those gifts, then he's strong, then he strengthens. So he's been on the floating boat. He's felt lost at sea. He's felt confused. He's felt angry. Because that's how Mars responds. It responds with anger, resentment. Why can't I make this happen? He's very impatient. And then when he goes into Aries, he can be like, okay, it's time. And he can be impulsive, but he's in action, and he's got a new sense of himself. It's been a big year for Mars with the Mars retrograde and the eclipses, and it's going to continue to be a big time, because we're forming new parts of ourselves, and we have to allow the old parts to fall away, and we have to throw them into the ocean, throw them overboard, and allow them, these new energies, to come in and be integrated into us. And that's part of our human spiritual journey, is to allow these cycles to continually cleanse us and purify us so that we can experience new energies as we go forward, knowing that Okay, again, when you're connected with that lava lamp of beautiful, strong energy, you're golden. You're always golden because you have that within you. So, my friends, I hope that this story helped understand what we are experiencing with Mars and Pisces. And if you want to go back and listen, that Mercury story time was November 21st, and the Venus story time was November 28th, and that could help paint the picture of what those planets are going through as we move through December. So thank you for joining me. As always, I am grateful for your comments, likes, subscribes, and all of you who listen across multiple platforms, thank you for joining me. I will be back here on Monday for another new topic and show. And until then, I wish you a beautiful week ahead. Oh, and don't forget this new moon. I didn't talk about it in this episode because I have a separate video for you on YouTube that describes the new moon on December 6th and 7th. So be sure and check that out for more of those energies. I'll see you on Monday. Take good care.